Hi, and welcome back to the Human Spirit Connection podcast. I'm your host, Alicia, with Tish Dorenzo. Hi, Tish.
Hi, Alicia.
Welcome back. And today we will be doing another interview, but first, just a little background on us. Tish and I are conducting a science experiment on conversation of how people, our peers, people we know, people we don't, on how they connect to their higher self, to their soul in this human experience. Tish and I got connected through a fundraiser we run together. We run a psychic fair to raise money for women's health organizations in the Boston area. Most recently, we're working with Boston Area Rape Crisis Center. And tonight we have another fabulous interview who Tish will have the pleasure to introduce.
Hi, everybody. I have today with us Doreen Minnelli. Doreen struggled with anxiety and depression for the first 20 odd years of her life. And only when she recognized her connection with spirit and the collective consciousness that she was able to truly live the life she desired. Meet Doreen and hear about the journey she has created through trusting and aligning her higher self. And before Doreen starts, I just want to say that I've known Doreen for many, many years, and she is has a wonderful sense of humor and a very easy way of explaining sometimes what we can think is complex situations. So Doreen, at the how we start our interview is we ask people this one question. Give me an instance where you felt a direct connection to the higher self. And I know you're going to tie this into your experience with depression, anxiety, because we only have 45 minutes. And so we're going to just limit to one aspect of your experience.
Sure. Thank you very much for inviting me, Alicia and Tish. And yes, I did struggle with anxiety and depression the first 20 some odd years of my life. And during that time, and I'll say it as quickly as I can, during that time, I knew that I had some ability to be able to tap in to, let's say, a different realm than the one I was living. But because of anxiety, which is basically fear, it always seemed to dullen, or quiet the inner voice. And it was only when I let go of control, needing to control anything in my life, is when I really gained control over my alignment with my higher self. And it was really about learning to trust in the unseen and unknown. And the biggest time in my life that I can actually say recently that that has happened to me was the passing of my father. Knowing that he wasn't going to be here in this world any longer. And I'd say about 30 years ago, being that anxious and depressed young adult, I could never imagine losing someone who was so close to me. And actually, he was like the first man I ever fell in love with in this world. And he was always someone I would go to. So when I was younger, I thought I could never live my life without that role model. And if I hadn't learned to trust and have faith in the unseen and unknown and communicate directly to the higher consciousness, I would have felt that loss. Where now in my life, I just know that he's not in my world here in a way in the physical form, but I can still connect with him, speak with him, feel him on a different realm, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. I think that as we delve more into the higher self, the more we understand that that's where all of us are connected. in my work as a psychic medium, people ask me, you know, do you see dead people? And I tell them, well, there's no such thing. A body is gone, it's gone. But it's in that higher self that we are all connected. And in my reading, I just go through the higher self and connect to the group consciousness. And that's how, you know, I relay information. So back in the day when you were really navigating your way through this thing called anxiety, how are you in that state of mind of being anxious and fearful? How do you break through that to break that cycle of thought and have the faith and connect to the higher self?
So at first, thought is overwhelming. And for someone who struggles with anxiety, everything's coming from the negative ego, which is part of the subconscious mind, not the consciousness. So the consciousness is our presence. It's us in the now. And the subconscious mind is based in memory. So it was experiences that I was not able to process or let go of that created more fear for me, which then I always felt threatened. And what I had to learn to do is stop creating stories from fearful thoughts and start exposing them and using my imagination to create what I wanted and what I desired instead of what I was afraid of. So it's learning how to redirect your focus and how to stay tapped in, tuned in, turned on to what's happening in the now. Because anxiety cannot manifest if you're present. It can only manifest if you are in thought. And thoughts aren't real. And I had to teach myself that my thoughts are not me and they're not my identity. It's the subconscious mind, the fearful mind, the negative ego that is part of the primitive brain. Like when we were here 40,000 years ago as, you know, cave people, we didn't know how to communicate with each other. We didn't know what rain was. We were just hunters and gatherers, and everything to us was threatening. And that's what an anxious mind is. It's everything we encounter is a threat. So we go to that fight or flight response. And, you know, Dr. Walter Cannon forgot one of them. It's not just a flight or fright. It's also what I did. I used to freeze. I wouldn't go anywhere. I wouldn't do anything. I would just feel frozen in fear. And I believe it was once I started exposing those irrational, fearful thoughts is when I could align to my higher self, because then I was starting to sense a kind of trust within my inner voice. Because before, the inner voice was muffled because the fear was screaming and the inner voice was whispering, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. So how did you know that you were connecting to the inner voice instead of the thoughts?
So the inner voice would make you feel calm, grounded, and it was almost as if somebody was holding your hand. You felt a compassion. You felt secure, where the negative ego would make you feel as though you had adrenaline running through your body. And I started to recognize, okay, this is a thought because I'm having physical reaction to it. My heart's starting to pound. I have labored breath. I'm shaking and trembling. So my brain is sending a, you know, impulse to my adrenal gland, and my fight or flight is ready to run, ready to defend myself, where the inner voice was more of the arm going over my shoulder, the warmth of the heart, the feeling of feeling grounded. So I started to recognize, you know, do I expose this fear to allow the comfort and the steady flow of peace? Or do I stay in that fight or flight and not have any direction? Because it's really when I let go of that fear, I have no fear now because I trust in the direction I'm always shown to go, because it's almost as if I'm just playing out a contract I've already written, and I'm having a human experience where my higher self, before coming here, my higher self is saying, this is what I want to experience. So the physical being is going to actually be living it. And that's the shift.
So now that you've made that shift, what do you do to connect to your higher self?
Be very present. Stay out of thought. Bring myself to just be without thought and be in that suspended place. And you can do it through meditation. And meditation isn't always, you know, having to listen to a guided meditation or to lie quietly. It can be walking on a path, you know, on a path through the woods. It could be, a lot of times it's while I'm taking a shower, believe it or not, because it's a space where you just feel completely relaxed. It's while I'm working out. It's also if I'm looking for direction, I ask, you know, within myself to give me guidance. I use my body as a third dimensional tool, as like as dowsing, or I'll use a pendulum to connect to that energy, which is actually just your own energy. It's just being channeled through you. And sometimes while doing Reiki, there's many different modalities and many different practices that I've integrated into my daily life. And it was all just, you know, practice, persistence, and patience all along the way.
One of the things that I'm noticing that's similar to what you're saying and to what we had in our first interview with Rosa, and Rosa is what I consider a pioneer in the LGBTQ plus community way back in the day in the 80s. And, you know, now her love and passion is as a priest in the alternative Catholic ecumenical belief system. And she always had that sense, as you say, it was always somewhere in the back of her mind or somewhere. She always had that sense of that loving presence. She always knew that. And it sounds like even though you had that fear rumbling around in your mind, you had that sense of that presence around you.
Yes. Yes, I certainly did. And I also believe we all have it. It's just whether we're open and allowing it to, you know, speak to us. I always had, you know, premonitions, understood things differently, saw the world a little different ever since I was a young child. So I always knew I had some kind of psychic ability. It was just anxiety and, you know, all the emotions that I didn't want to really process or face as a younger child all came up in my teenage years. So even though I knew it was there, it's almost like it had to take a back seat for me to be able to get through the journey of overcoming anxiety and depression. But I always knew it was there.
I always had a sense when I was younger of someone lecturing, someone teaching me. And that might sound like someone who's having a psychotic break and hears voices. But I don't know really how to describe it, is that it wasn't the messages weren't, you know, destructive in any way. And there were even times where I wouldn't necessarily know exactly what they were saying to me, but I knew that I was being taught, or I knew someone was instructing me. I knew someone was guiding me, even though I might not have clearly understood it.
Right.
As we're having a conversation right now.
Exactly. And for me, it wasn't, I will say it's what I, you know, I hear this, I hear that. It wasn't a voice. To me, it was thought. It was like they put thought into my consciousness. And I knew it wasn't my thought, because if you have to say, is that my thought or is it their thought? I just knew it to be true. And I'd say spirit speaking through me. And a lot of times they would put pictures in my mind of certain things and things that I would relate to, not necessarily what were happening, but something I would recognize and relate to. So I always knew there was that alignment there. But through the years of anxiety and depression, I just felt I wasn't connected to it, which is now understanding the opposite. I was always connected. I wasn't necessarily aligned.
I think that's a really good point, because I feel that what the depression comes from is when there's a part of you that does know there's something else. I think for me, it was, I knew there was this other aspect of self, and I knew it was good and powerful, not in the sense of controlling others, but just powerful in that it was strong. And I feel that the depression I had was when I knew that somehow I wasn't connected to that. But as you say, it really wasn't connection, because the connection was that whisper that let me know they were there, but it was the alignment and the release of the negative mind.
Exactly. Exactly. And in my practice, I mean, I'm a life coach. I'm a certified life coach. I help people with anxiety and depression. And when I first meet a client or when they get in touch with me, I say, you have to overcome anxiety and depression on all levels, the, you know, physical, the psychological, and the spiritual. And I tell people, it's not about religion. It's the spiritual aspect of overcoming it. It's the trust in yourself. It is learning who you really are, not this behavior. Because anxiety is not an identity. I was not anxiety. I was always who I am and who I was, never changed. It's the behavior. So it really, you know, I make a really big effort to have people understand you are not anxiety. You are not depression. That's a behavior that's been learned and you're expressing it. You are a spiritual being. You'll never not be a spiritual being. And to be able to live your life knowing that and learning how to express that and integrating it into your human experience, because we can't be 100% spiritual here on this earth, or else we would ascend. We're here to have a human experience, which is through the ego. And I don't mean being egotistical, it's about being human. So it's learning to integrate both. So now through walk of life, you know, I'm human. Sometimes I see things in a certain way and then I say, wait a minute, change the way I'm seeing it and the things I'm gonna see are gonna change. So I try to see it from a perspective of pure positive energy without having, you know, judgment, without having expectation. It's just about being open to the experience, meaning nothing's good, nothing's bad. It's just an experience. And what am I going to take from it? What am I going to learn? What can I share beyond that experience? That's what I feel that my journey has become.
Well, I think the, for me, my challenge, sometimes on a moment by moment basis is being present. It's so easy for me to project what will I do tomorrow, what things must I get done? What appointments do I have? What responsibilities do I have at work? What deadlines must be reached? Or what if I don't reach them? What if something fails? And I find that I cycle into things where I will have a lot of, I'll generate a lot of fearful thoughts. And I always tell people that, you know, our experience, we're a spiral. And if you were to hang a string from your ceiling and then you create a spiral staircase around that string, there are several points in the ascension upward that you intersect with that string. So there are times where we say, oh, we've conquered this particular thing. And then we do well, who knows, 6 months, 6 years, however long. And then we cycle into it and we say, gee, I thought responses you did when you were at the bottom rung, you know, now you're 10 feet up and now you're experiencing it from that vantage point, from that vibration.
Right.
And not to be discouraged. To me, it's a lifelong practice and it's a practice. It's something that all our life we do. And as we age, and our mind changes and our emotions change and how we connect to the earth and our earthly experience changes as well. We still might cycle in and out of dealing with the negative ego, but we're doing it from a different vantage point.
Exactly. And the thing is what you said about, you know, it's a lifelong, look, we're not going to get it all done in this lifetime. Yeah. I've come to the understanding of that. So I'm not in a hurry. And Tish, I think we're programmed not to be present.
Yeah.
By commercials, by our elders, by everything, all the distractions in our lives. And I think we're also have been taught, unfortunately, which I find, especially with clients and through my own experience, that we're not worthy.
Oh, that's a big one. Yeah, that's a big one.
So I made peace with that. For many years, I didn't feel I was worthy. And I've made peace with that. Not only am I worthy, I'm worthy of all that is good. And once we can make peace with that, we open the door to almost the fortunes of what the universe can actually provide to us. Because, you know, I was speaking to someone today and they said, I'm asking in prayer, you know, I've been praying, I've been saying this, please help me this and do it. And I said, if that is what brings you comfort, but the universe doesn't hear words, they sense your vibration. So if you're begging for something, they feel the lack of what you're feeling.
Yes.
So they say, okay, is that what you want? I'll give you more of that. So other things in your life are going to show up that match that emotion. So for me, when I say that I feel worthy, I am grateful before things even manifest. I already feel the gratitude of if it was happening right now. So
because I said, technically it is happening right now.
In my right? emotional field, right.
Right, but also when you look at a timeline, okay? Because in spirit, there is no timeline.
Right.
So I took a long time for me to find a job. And, I got to a point where I celebrated when I didn't get the job. I said, well, someone did that day. And I'm part of that celebration. They got that job today. And I'm looking forward to the time where I get to have that, where it's going to be my turn. And it's coming to me. I know it is. Right. And it really helps. Understand manifestation, because that whole time I'm manifesting excitement about getting my job. I have gratitude about that job because in spirit it's already occurred.
Right. Just aligning to it, to that vibration.
Yes.
And you can't align to that vibration when you feel disappointed, when you feel the lack of it, when you feel fear. That's not what you would feel or what you would express when you get that job.
Ideally, yes.
That's right. I also feel though that there is a place to feel the feeling, to feel the disappointment and to feel the frustration. And just like the gratitude that you would feel if you did get the job, you ought to let them both go. So it's like, so you make more space to feel more and be bigger, because I feel like the disappointment, the frustration need to, or whatever, the sadness too need to be felt. Maybe you have yourself a good cry or hit a pillow or something, and then move on and then live in the gratitude.
Right. It's about not getting stuck.
Right.
In the disappointment, not getting stuck. We should always be expressing ourselves. And I tell my clients, being angry isn't a bad thing. We have a whole array of emotions. There's an emotional scale that we have, and at the bottom is despair, fear. And, you know, anger is up a few rungs. So I say, you know, if you're down in despair, you know, reach a thought that maybe up a few rungs is anger. Once you get there, now reach another thought, then maybe you're up a little bit, is hopefulness. You know, always be going up the rung, but feel what you're feeling. Just don't get stuck in it. And in the end, always be open to the gratitude.
Yeah.
Be grateful for what you have and be grateful for what you're going to have. It's funny. I look at my life and I sometimes say, okay, who's the one that's playing the joke, right? Who's the one playing the joke on me? Someone who struggles with anxiety and panic disorder and was afraid of their own shadow for many, many years, overcomes it, gets back on their feet, stops creating what they want, and then gets a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis after struggling for quite a few years and not being diagnosed with it. And I had said to my husband, coming home from Boston, from Brigham and Women, from the neurologist that actually diagnosed me, I came home and I looked at him, I said, well, if this isn't a big F you. And then I thought, I sat and thought about it. No, it was actually, it just showed me that I had overcome all that fear. And here's something that they've shown me that has no idea how it happens. Or it's like they said it's like a ticking time bomb in some people's bodies, and there's many things that can go wrong, and there's no real medications on the market, because this was 20 some odd years ago. And I said to my husband, well, if this isn't a big kick in the ass, if I was going to be panicky, if I was going to be depressed, this would probably be a good time for it. And I'm just staying in the space of, okay, I can mourn, I can be sad, I can be upset, but I'm not getting stuck in it. I'm going to be grateful for the opportunities it's going to bring. And it brought me into a whole different world, on a whole different path. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. I wouldn't know the people I know, some of the people I know today, and I wouldn't have changed any of that. So it could have gone in a really bad direction if I had gone back to old behavior. I stayed completely aligned with the universe on this. And it just opened the door for so many blessings, where I could have shut the door and just became a victim. And it was a conscious choice, believe me.
It sounds like acceptance is one of the building blocks in this foundation of presence.
Acceptance and allowing. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
As you accepted that diagnosis in the sense that you have it, but you didn't accept all the things that they were telling you were going to happen. You know, you didn't just say, oh yeah, that's it, I'm going to roll over now and this is the end. You accepted it and you moved forward, but you also worked at aligning to manifesting the best for yourself.
Right. So it's language, because, again, your brain hears what you say and what's in it, and it becomes a belief. So when the neurologist had said to me, you know, this isn't a death sentence, but it is a life sentence. And, you know, I'm always here for you when you don't do well. And I looked at him and I shook his hand. I said, I'm so very thankful that, you know, you were able to give me some answers, but you'll never see me again because I'm going to do really well. And he says, I have no doubt you will. And I left that office and I told my husband, I am not going to be a victim of this. And when people to this day say, oh, you have MS? And I say, no, I was diagnosed with it. I don't have, it's not mine. It's not my label. It's not my thing. It's just something that offered me a new perspective in life. And I think that, you know, I used to hear when I was a child, someone got cancer and it was the most beautiful thing they ever happened in their lives because it made them do this. So they start to, and I used to say to myself, oh my God, if that was ever me, I think I'd just hang myself. And I could never understand that whole process of the way somebody would think that way. And then, you know, fast forward 30 years later, 35 years later, and I was saying the same thing. I had to get to that place to be able to do that.
And that's really the gift of the diagnosis.
Right. Letting me know, having the experience that I have a totally new perspective and a new alignment with my higher self. There's no fear when you feel as though you're taken care of.
You do go to medical doctors and you do take medication as directed. So you do follow their instruction, and yet at the same time, you're also aligning yourself to good health. Is that correct?
Yes, because a lot of, you know, colleagues of mine will say, well, you know, you're a holistic practitioner, but you take medicine. You know, how do you make peace with that? I say, because the doctors in the medical field, they're all aligned to their higher self. And that creation of those medications or therapies inspired by spirit, they're expressing it in that way to help others, just like I express it to help others overcome anxiety and depression. So it's an integration of both, but it has to resonate with you. There have been many times that medical doctors have said things or suggested things that didn't feel right to me. So you really have to trust in, you know, what your body and your in your mind accepts. I wouldn't just blindly take something. It would have to feel right for me. You know, a lot of people right now with COVID were fearful of getting sick, fearful of, you know, the unknown of how it's going to play out, fearful knowing these vaccines coming in, you know, fearful of taking it or not taking it. And I just stayed very open. You know, I had doctors reach out to me, you know, autoimmune compromise, be really careful, you know, don't go do this, don't do that. I was, you know, consciously careful, but I never felt fearful. When you have trust that whatever is going to happen has already happened, and that's your path, you're just catching up with it in the physical realm, there's nothing to fear because you know whatever's going to happen is for your highest good, because your spiritual self would never let anything happen to you that wasn't for your highest good. There's something there for you to learn, or there's something there to help others learn. So again,
it's acceptance.
Right. And allowing.
And allowing.
Right.
So when people get themselves in a pickle, you know, where things end up maybe not where they expected it to be, and they're disappointed or they're angry with something, does that mean that the voice we're so to me, where I think it's hard is this my ego that's directing me in this direction, or is this my higher self? Because my ego can take me to places most unpleasant. And I
that's the key, Tish.
Yeah, exactly.
Unpleasant. When it starts to feel unpleasant, you know it's the ego.
And I think that's a good tool for people as they're trying to connect to the higher self and to know how it's resonating within their physical body. Like for me, it's my solar plexus. When that's all, how can I say, turbulent, then I know it's my ego that's working the room. I know it is.
Right. For me, when I sense that it comes from the ego, I start to worry or have a little fear. And I say, oh, yeah, no, this is my negative ego. This is the ego kicking in because now I feel uncomfortable. And my uncomfortableness is anxiety, fear, worry. So as soon as I sense something like, ooh, this could be, you know, this is a little worrisome, I step back and say, well, I know that's not coming from, you know, my true self. That's the negative ego. And it's not that I would hang myself out a third floor window and you know, be fearful of that and say, oh, no, that's the ego. I'm just going to jump.
Right.
Things that are concrete, things that are in this world, things that we know to be true that can harm us is much different than having the projection of the future or staying caught up in the past and it brings up fear. That's completely different than having something in the material world threaten you, like someone holding a gun to you or somebody, you know. But you have to understand something also. When you're afraid, fear happens, right, when you are projecting something. So if someone came into the room right now, to me right now, and threatened me, you know, I'm going to rob you, I would feel that rush of adrenaline because it would be, you know, I would be stunned.
Fight or flight, yeah.
Right. But I wouldn't be, oh, what if he shoots me? Or what if he does this? That happens after.
Yeah.
Then you think, oh my God, what if this had happened? Or what if that happens again? Or what? It's always the what ifs. So as soon as I say the what if to myself, I say, oh, I'm not going down that road. I completely erase it and say whatever. Because just the energy of those two words together, what if, it gets you in the solar plex, right? It's the anticipation of the absolute worst scenario possible when it probably won't happen at all. But when I say whatever, it's allowing whatever is going to happen without me having a negative emotional attachment to it. And the whatever is giving myself permission to just be part of the experience. It's just the shift of those two words that can actually change the direction of where you're going to go and how you're going to feel about it.
Well, I call the negative mind Gladys. And so let's say I'm driving to the store and I'm saying, oh, I'm going to go there. It's going to be crowded. I can't get what I want. I'll have to walk. You know, then I say, okay, Gladys, you know. And that's my way of, one, disconnecting it because it's not Tish, it's Gladys.
Yeah, it's almost like Karen, right?
Okay, right. But Karen's mean. My Gladys is just like a Debbie Downer from Saturday Night Live, more likely. So I'm just like, okay, Gladys, yep. And actually, I also name her after one of the housewives from Bravo's Jersey Shore. Mm-hmm.
I've called mine Jackie, short for jackass. Like, okay, yeah. Jackie, watch him out.
Yeah, because it helps too when you put humor around it. And then it's not me.
Right.
Okay? Which I'm getting a name, it's not me.
Right, which it isn't you.
Exactly.
It's not you. And, you know, I learned a long time ago where I'd, you know, be so conscious of everything I said, everything I did. If I tripped, I'd be mortified. If I stuttered, I'd be mortified. I lighten things up in my life to learn how to laugh at myself, because you know what? I can be pretty funny in a clumsy way or in a, you know, unattractive way. And you let go, because anxiety is all about control and perfection. I've learned there is no perfection in the world, because there isn't anything on this earth that couldn't use some improvement. And that's what perfection is, something that is completely without improvement. And there's nothing on this earth that, you know, couldn't use some improvement. So I've completely lightened up on myself. And, you know, I laugh at myself. I give myself permission for being, you know, not thorough or making a mistake, where before I would just beat myself up consciously. And, you know, it would just that much more drag me down. Because anxiety and depression, they're kissing cousins. You know, if you're anxious long enough, you're going to become depressed. And if you're depressed long enough, you're going to become anxious. So it was always that revolving door. If I wasn't anxious, I was depressed. If I wasn't depressed, I was anxious. And there were, you know, glimmers of times where I felt good is when I had clarity. Because you can't have clarity when you're in fear or when you're having emotions you just don't know how to process. So for me, clarity was just being, just observing, just being part of the present, just being presence itself. So, you know, that's another big step that I try to, you know, help guide and support clients to understand. You're not perfect and you don't have to always have control, because you never really have control. The only thing we can control, whether what direction do we want to go in? Do I want to be in thought or do I want to be thinking? And thinking is your consciousness. Thought is not.
Thank you, Doreen, for the time you've given us this evening. Alicia, do you have any commentary for Doreen? Or comments to end the podcast?
Thank you so much, Doreen, for sharing your wisdom with us today on the podcast. And what is your business called? And we can include it in the bio if you would like that. If you want to speak a little bit about that or how people can contact you.
Yeah, they can. I have a website, and I always tell people, I don't advertise, I don't really talk about my business. I really always have had the understanding when people are ready, the teacher appears, and if I'm the teacher for someone, then they find me. They have to align with it. You know, it has to resonate with you, because my practice isn't about necessarily therapy, about talking about your past. I deal with it in the present moment to help people create a more enjoyable and future for themselves, to be able to live the life that they know they want, but for some reason don't have any tools or coping skills to be able to get it. But they can Google my name, and you know, my website is youcanbefearfree.com. But mostly I just want to let people know that you have hope, just like everybody else. Anybody can overcome their struggles when they're open and allowing themselves to, because the biggest barrier to moving forward is getting in your own way.
Thank you so much, Doreen.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you for doing what you're doing to bring, you know, all this new ideas to people, and sharing your own life experiences and inviting people on, because you know what? We're here in this world together. We're not here alone. And the more we work together, the bigger things we can do.
So true. Thank you, Doreen. And thank you, Tish.
Thank you, Doreen.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Alicia.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.